22. Lights in the Storm. Storm form is said to cause a tempest of winds and showers. Beware its powers, beware its powers. Though its coming brings the gods their night, it obliges a blood-red spren. Beware its end, beware its end. From the Listener's Song of Winds, 4th Stanza. Kaladin watched the window shutters. Motion came in bursts. First stillness. Yes, he could hear a distant howling, the wind passing through some hollow, but nothing nearby. A tremble. Then wood rattling wickedly in its frame. Violent shaking with water seeping in at the joints. Something was out there in the dark chaos of the high storm. It thrashed and pounded at the window, wanting in. Light flashed out there, glistening through the drops of water. Another flash. Then the light stayed. Steady, like glowing spheres, just outside. Faintly red. For some reason he couldn't explain, Kaladin had the impression of eyes. Transfixed, he raised his hand toward the latch to open it and see.
"Someone really needs to fix that loose shutter," King Elokar said, annoyed.
The light faded. The rattling stopped. Kaladin blinked, lowering his hand.
"Someone remind me to ask Nakhal to see to it," Elokar said, pacing behind his couch. "The shutter shouldn't leak. This is my palace, not a village tavern."
"We'll make sure it's seen to," Adolin said. He sat in a chair beside the hearth, flipping through a book filled with sketches. His brother sat in a chair next to him, hands clasped in his lap. He was probably sore from his training, but he didn't show it. Instead, he had gotten a small box out of his pocket and was repeatedly opening it, turning it in his hand, rubbing one side, then shutting it with a click. He did it over and over and over. He stared at nothing as he did it. He seemed to do that a lot. Elokar continued pacing. Idrin, head of the king's guard, stood near the king, straight-backed, green eyes forward. He was dark-skinned for an Alethi, perhaps with some Azish blood in him, and wore a full beard. Men from Bridge Four had been taking shifts with his men, as Dalinar suggested, and so far Kaladin had been impressed by the man and the team he had run. However, when the horns for a plateau run sounded, Idrin would turn toward them, and his expression would grow longing. He wanted to be out there fighting. Sadius's betrayal had made a lot of the soldiers in camp similarly eager, as if they wanted the chance to prove how strong Dalinar's army was. More rumbling came from the storm outside. It was odd not to be cold during a high storm. The barrack always felt chilly. This room was well heated, though not by a fire. Instead, the hearth held a ruby the size of Kaladin's fist, one that could have paid to feed everyone in his hometown for weeks. Kaladin left the window and sauntered toward the fireplace under the pretext of inspecting the gemstone. He really wanted a glimpse of whatever it was Adolin was looking through. Many men refused to even look at books, considering it unmasculine. Adolin didn't seem to be bothered by that. Curious. As he approached the hearth, Kaladin passed the door to a side room where Dalinar and Navani had retired at the advent of the storm. Kaladin had wanted to post a guard inside. They'd refused. "Well, this is the only way into that room," he thought. "There's not even a window." This time, if words appeared on the wall, he would know for certain nobody was sneaking in. Kaladin stooped down, inspecting the ruby in the hearth, which was held in place by a wire enclosure. Its strong heat made his face prickle with sweat. Storms, that ruby was so large that the light infusing it should have blinded him. Instead, he could stare into its depths and see the light moving inside. People thought that the illumination from gemstones was steady and calm, but that was just in contrast to flickering candlelight. If you looked deeply into a stone, you could see the light shifting with the chaotic pattern of a blowing storm. It was not calm inside. Not by a wind or a whisper,
Never seen a heating fabrial before, I assume? Renarin asked. Kaladin glanced at the bespectacled prince. He wore an Alethi High Lord's uniform, like that of Adolin. In fact, Kaladin had never seen them wearing anything else, other than shardplate, of course. No, I haven't, Kaladin said. New technology, Renarin said, still playing with his little metal box. My aunt built that one herself. Every time I turn around, it seems the world has changed somehow. Kaladin grunted. I know how that feels. Part of him yearned to suck in the light of that gemstone. A foolish move. There'd be enough in there to make him glow like a bonfire. He lowered his hands and strolled past Adolin's chair. The sketches in Adolin's book were of men in fine clothing. The drawings were quite good, their faces done in as much detail as their garments. Fashion? Kaladin asked. He hadn't intended to speak, but it came out anyway. You're spending the high storm looking for new clothing? Adolin snapped the book closed. But you only wear uniforms, Kaladin said, confused. Do you need to be here, bridge boy? Adolin demanded. Surely nobody is going to come for us during a high storm, of all things. The fact that you assume that, Kaladin said, is why I need to be here. What better time would there be for an assassination attempt? The winds would cover shouts, and help would be slow in coming when everyone has taken cover to wait out the storm. Seems to me this is one of the times when His Majesty most needs guards. The king stopped pacing and pointed.
That makes sense. Why hasn't anyone else ever explained that to me?
He looked at Edrin, who remained stoic. Adolin sighed. You could at least leave Renarin and me out of it, he said softly to Kaladin. It's easier to protect you when you're all together, Bright Lord, Kaladin said, walking away. Plus, you can defend each other. Dalinar had been intending to stay with Navani during the storm anyway. Kaladin approached the window again, listening to the storm pass outside. Had he really seen the things he thought he had during his time out in the storm? A face as vast as the sky? The Stormfather himself? I am a god, Syl had said. A little piece of one. Eventually the storm passed, and Kaladin opened the window to a black sky, a few phantom clouds shining with no man's light. The storm had started a few hours into the night, but nobody could sleep during a storm. He hated when a high storm came so late. He often felt exhausted the next day. The side room door opened, and Dalinar stepped out, trailed by Navani. The statuesque woman carried a large notebook. Kaladin had heard, of course, about the High Prince's fits during storms. His men were divided on the topic. Some thought Dalinar was frightened of high storms, and his terror sent him into convulsions. Others whispered that with age the Blackthorn was losing his mind. Kaladin badly wanted to know which it was. His fate and that of his men was tied to this man's health. "Numbers, sir?" Kaladin asked, peeking into the room, looking at the walls. "No," Dalinar said. "Sometimes they come just after the storm," Kaladin said. "I have men in the hall outside. I would prefer if everyone remained here for a short time." Dalinar nodded.
"As you wish, soldier."
Kaladin walked to the exit. Beyond, some men of Bridge Four and of the King's Guard stood on watch. Kaladin nodded to Leighton, then pointed for them to watch out on the balcony. Kaladin would catch the Phantom scratching those numbers, if indeed such a person existed. Behind, Renarin and Adolin approached their father. "Anything new?" Renarin asked softly.
"No," Dalinar said. "The vision was a repeat. But they're not coming in the same order as last time, and some are new, so perhaps there is something to learn we have not yet discovered."
Noticing Kaladin, he trailed off, then changed the topic.
"Well, as long as we're waiting here, perhaps I can get an update. Adolin, when can we expect more duels?"
"I'm trying," Adolin said with a grimace. "I thought beating Salinor would drive others to want to try me, but they're stalling instead."
Problematic, Navani said. Weren't you always saying that everyone wanted to duel you?
They did, Adolin said. When I couldn't duel, at least. Now every time I make an offer, people start shuffling their feet and looking away.
Have you tried anyone in Sadeus's camp? The king asked eagerly.
No, Adolin said. But he's only got one shard-bearer other than himself, Amaram.
Kaladin felt a shiver.
Well, you won't be dueling him, Delinar said, chuckling.
He sat down on the couch, Brightness Navani settling in beside him, and fondly on his knee.
We might have him on our side. I've been speaking to High Lord Amaram.
You think you can get him to secede?
The king asked. Is that possible? Kaladin asked, surprised. The light eyes turned to him. Navani blinked as if noticing him for the first time.
Yes, it is possible, Dalinar said. Most of the territory that Amaram oversees would remain with Sadeus, but he could bring his personal land to my princedom, along with his shards. Usually it requires a land trade with a princedom bordering the one a High Lord wishes to join.
It hasn't happened in over a decade, Adolin said, shaking his head.
I'm working on him, Dalinar said. But Amaram, he wants to bring Sadeus and me together instead. He thinks we can get along again.
Adolin snorted. That possibility blew away the day Sadeus betrayed us.
Probably long before that day, Dalinar said, even if I didn't see it. Is there anyone else you could challenge, Adolin?
I'm going to try Talonor, Adolin said, and then Kalashor.
Neither full shard-bearers, Navani said with a frown. The first has only the blade, the second only the plate.
All of the full shard-bearers have refused me, Adolin said with a shrug. Those two are eager, thirsty for notoriety. One of them might agree where others haven't.
Kaladin folded his arms, leaning back against the wall.
And if you defeat them, won't it scare off others from fighting you?
When I beat them, Adolin said, glancing at Kaladin's relaxed posture and frowning, Father will maneuver others into agreeing to duels.
But it will have to stop sometime, right? Kaladin asked. Eventually the other High Princes will realize what's happening. They'll refuse to be goaded into further duels. It might be happening already. That's why they don't accept.
Someone will, Adolin said, standing. And once I start winning, others will begin to see me as a real challenge. They'll want to test themselves.
That seemed optimistic to Kaladin.
Captain Kaladin is right, Delinar said.
Adolin turned toward his father.
There's no need to fight every shard-bearer in camp, Delinar said softly. We need to narrow our attack. Choose jewels for you that point us toward the ultimate goal.
Which is? Adolin asked.
Undermining Sadeus.
Dalinar almost sounded regretful.
Killing him in a duel if we have to. Everyone in camp knows the sides in this power struggle. This won't work if we punish everyone equally. We need to show those in the middle, those deciding whom to follow, the advantages of trust, cooperation on plateau runs, help from one another's shard-bearers. We show them what it's like to be part of a real kingdom.
The others grew quiet. The king turned away with a shake of his head. He didn't believe, at least not fully, in what Dalinar wished to achieve. Kaladin found himself annoyed. Why should he be? Dalinar had agreed with him. He stewed for a moment and then realized that he was probably still upset because someone had mentioned Amaram. Even hearing the man's name put Kaladin out of sorts. He kept thinking something should happen, something should change, now that such a murderer was in camp. Yet everything just kept on going. It was frustrating. Made him want to lash out. He needed to do something about it.
I assume we've waited long enough, Adolin said to his father. I can go.
Dalinar sighed, nodding. Adolin pulled open the door and strode away. Renarin followed at a slower pace, hauling that shard blade he was still bonding, sheathed in its protective strips. As they passed the group of guards Kaladin had put outside, Scar and three others broke off to follow them. Kaladin walked to the door, doing a quick count of who was left. 4 men total. Moash, Kaladin said, noticing the man yawning. How long have you been on duty today? Moash shrugged. 1 shift guarding Brightness, Navani. 1 shift with the King's Guard.
I'm working them too hard, Kaladin thought. Stormfather, I don't have enough men. Even with the left of our Cobalt Guard that Dalinar is sending to me.
Head back and get some sleep, Kaladin said. You too, Bissig. I saw you on shift this morning.
And you? Moash asked Kaladin.
I'm fine.
He had Stormlight to keep him alert.
True, using Stormlight that way could be dangerous. It provoked him to act, to be more impulsive. He wasn't sure he liked what it did to him when he used it outside of battle.
Moash raised an eyebrow.
You've got to be at least as tired as I am, Cal.
I'll go back in a bit, Kaladin said.
You need some time off, Moash. You'll get sloppy if you don't take it.
I have to pull 2 shifts, Moash said, shrugging. At least if you want me to train with the King's Guard as well as doing my regular guard duty.
Kaladin drew his lips to a line. That was important. Moash needed to think like a bodyguard, and there was no better way than serving on an already established crew.
My shift here with the King's Guard is almost over, Moash noted. I'll head back after.
Fine, Kaladin said.
Keep Layton with you.
Natum, you and Mart guard Brightness Navani. I'll see Dalinar back to camp and post guards at his door.
And you'll get some sleep? Moash asked.
The others glanced at Kaladin. They were worried as well.
Yes, fine.
Kaladin turned back to the room where Dalinar was helping Navani to her feet. He'd walk her to her door, as he did most evenings. Kaladin debated for a moment, then stepped up to the High Prince.
Sir, there's something I need to talk to you about.
Can it wait until I'm done here? Dalinar said.
Yes, sir, Kaladin said. I'll wait at the palace's front doors, then we'll be your guard on the way back to camp.
Dalinar led Navani away, joined by 2 bridgeman guards. Kaladin made his own way down the corridor, thinking. Servants had already come by to open the corridor windows, and Syl floated in through one as a spinning swirl of mist. Giggling, she spun around him a few times before going out another window. She always got more spren-like during a high storm. The air smelled wet and fresh. The whole world felt clean after a high storm, scrubbed by nature's abrasive. He reached the front of the palace, where a pair of the King's Guard stood on watch. Kaladin nodded to them and got crisp salutes in return, then he fetched a sphere lantern from the guard post and filled it with his own spheres. From the front of the palace, Kaladin could look out over all 10 war camps. As always after a storm, the light of refreshed spheres sparkled everywhere, their gemstones ablaze with captured fragments of the tempest that had passed. Standing there, Kaladin confronted what he needed to say to Dalinar. He rehearsed it silently more than once, but still wasn't ready when the High Prince emerged at last from the palace doors. Natum saluted from behind them, handing Dalinar off to Kaladin, then jogged back to join Mart outside Brightness Navani's door. The High Prince started down the switchbacks of the side route down from the pinnacle to the stables below. Kaladin fell in beside him. Dalinar appeared deeply distracted by something.
He hasn't ever announced anything about his fits during high storms, Kaladin thought. Shouldn't he say something?
They'd talked about visions earlier. What was it Dalinar saw, or thought he saw?
So, soldier, Dalinar said as they walked, what is it you wanted to discuss?
Kaladin took a deep breath.
A year ago, I was a soldier in Amaram's army.
So that's where you learned, Dalinar said. I should have guessed. Amaram is the only general in Sadeus's princedom with any real leadership ability.
Sir, Kaladin said, stopping on the steps. He betrayed me and my men.
Dalinar stopped and turned to look at him.
A poor battle decision, then. Nobody is perfect, soldier. If he sent your men into a bad situation, I doubt he intended to do so.
Just push through it, Kaladin told himself, noticing Syl sitting on a shale-bark ridge just to the right. She nodded at him. He has to know. It was just... He'd never spoken of this, not in full. Not even to Rock, Teft, and the others.
It wasn't that, sir, Kaladin said, meeting Delinar's eyes by sphere-light. I know where Amaram got his shard blade. I was there. I killed the shard-bearer carrying it.
That can't be the case, Delinar said slowly. If you had, you'd hold the plate and blade.
Amaram took it for himself, then slaughtered everyone who knew the truth, Kaladin said. Everyone but a lone soldier who, in his guilt, Amaram branded a slave and sold, rather than murdering.
Delinar stood in silence.
From this angle, the hillside behind him was completely dark, lit only by stars. A few spheres glowed in Delinar's pocket, shining through the fabric of his uniform.
Amaram is one of the best men I know, Delinar said. His honor is spotless. I've never even known him to take undue advantage of an opponent in a duel, despite cases when it would have been acceptable.
Kaladin didn't respond. He'd believed that, too, at one point.
Do you have any proof? Delinar asked. You understand that I can't take one man's word on something of this nature.
One dark-eyed man's word, you mean?
Kaladin said, gritting his teeth.
It's not the color of your eyes that is the problem, Delinar said, but the severity of your accusation. The words you speak are dangerous. Do you have any proof, soldier?
There were others there when he took the shards. Men of his personal guard did the actual killing at his command. And there was a storm warden there. Middle-aged, with a peaked face. He wore a beard like an ardent.
He paused.
They were all complicit in the act, but maybe...
Delinar sighed softly in the night.
Have you spoken this accusation to anyone else?
No,
Kaladin said.
Continue to hold your tongue. I'll talk to Amaram. Thank you for telling me of this.
Sir,
Kaladin said, taking a step closer to Delinar.
If you really believe in justice, you...
That's enough for the moment, son,
Delinar cut in, voice calm but cool.
You've had your say, unless you can offer me anything else by way of evidence.
Kaladin forced down his immediate burst of anger. It was difficult.
I appreciated your input when we were talking about my son's jewels earlier, Delinar said. This is the second time you've added something important to one of our conferences, I believe.
Thank you, sir.
But, soldier, Delinar said, you're walking quite a line between helpfulness and insubordination in the way you treat me and mine. You have a chip on your shoulder the size of a boulder. I ignore it because I know what was done to you, and I can see the soldier beneath. That's the man I hired for this job.
Kaladin ground his teeth and nodded.
Yes, sir.
Good. Now run along.
Sir, but I must escort...
I think I'll return to the palace, Delinar said. I don't think I'll get much sleep tonight, so I might want to pester the Dowager with my thoughts. Her guards can watch over me. I'll take one with me when I return to my camp.
Kaladin let out a long breath, then saluted.
Fine,
he thought, continuing down the dark, damp path. When he reached the bottom, Delinar was still standing up above, now just a shadow. He seemed lost in thought. Kaladin turned and walked back toward Dalinar's war camp. Syl flitted up and landed on his shoulder.
See? She said. He listened.
No, he didn't, Syl.
What? He replied and said...
I told him something he didn't want to hear, Kaladin said. Even if he does look into it, he'll find plenty of reasons to dismiss what I said. In the end, it will be my word against Amaram's. Stormfather, I shouldn't have said anything.
You'd let it go, then?
Storms, no, Kaladin said. I'd find my own justice.
Oh.
Syl settled on his shoulder. They walked for a long while, eventually approaching the war camp.
You're not a skybreaker, Kaladin,
Syl finally said.
You're not supposed to be like this.
A what? He asked, stepping over scuttling Kremlings in the dark. They came out in force after a storm, when plants unfolded to lap up the water. That was one of the orders, wasn't it? He did know some little of them. Everyone did, from the legends.
Yes,
Syl said, voice soft.
I'm worried about you, Kaladin. I thought things would be better once you were free from the bridges.
Things are better, he said. None of my men have been killed since we were freed.
But you...
She didn't seem to know what else to say.
I thought you might be like the person you were before. I can remember a man on a field of battle. A man who fought...
That man is dead, Syl, Kaladin said, waving to the guards as he entered the war camp. Once again, light and motion surrounded him, people running quick errands, parshmen repairing buildings damaged by the storm. During my time as a bridgeman, all I had to worry about was my men. Now things are different. I have to become someone. I just don't know who yet. When he reached Bridge 4's barrack, Rock was dishing out the evening stew. Far later than usual, but some of the men were on odd shifts. The men weren't limited to stew any longer, but they still insisted on it for the evening meal. Kaladin took a bowl gratefully, nodding to Bissig, who was relaxing with several of the others and chatting about how they actually missed carrying their bridge. Kaladin had instilled in them a respect for it, much as a soldier respected his spear. Stew. Bridges. They spoke so fondly of things that had once been emblems of their captivity. Kaladin took a bite, then stopped, noticing a new man leaning against a rock beside the fire. "Do I know you?" he asked, pointing at the bald, muscular man. He had tan skin, like an Alethi, but he didn't seem to have the right face shape. Herdazian?
"Oh, don't mind Punyo," Lopin called from nearby. "He's my cousin."
"You had a cousin on the bridge cruise?" Kaladin asked.
"Nah," Lopin said. "He just heard my mother say we needed more guards, so he came to help. I got him a uniform and things."
The newcomer, Punyo, smiled and raised his spoon.
"Bridge 4,"
he said with a thick Herdazian accent. "Are you a soldier?" Kaladin asked him.
"Yes," the man said. "Bright Law Rowian Army. Not worry. I swore to Colin instead now. For my cousin."
He smiled affably. "You can't just leave your army, Punyo," Kaladin said, rubbing his forehead. "It's called desertion."
"Not for us," Lopin called. "We're Herdazian. Nobody can tell us apart anyway." "Yes," Punyo said. "I leave for the homeland once a year. When I come back, nobody remembers me."
He shrugged.
"This time, I come here."
Kaladin sighed, but the man looked like he knew his way around a spear, and Kaladin did need more men. "Fine. Just pretend you were one of the bridgemen from the start, all right?"
"Bridge 4,"
the man said enthusiastically. Kaladin passed him and found his customary place by the fire to relax and think. He didn't get that chance, however, as someone stepped up and squatted down before him. A man with marbled skin and a Bridge 4 uniform. "Shen?" Kaladin asked.
"Sir?"
Shen continued to stare at him. "Is there something you wanted?" Kaladin asked.
"Am I really Bridge 4?"
Shen asked. "Of course you are."
"Where is my spear?"
Kaladin looked Shen in the eyes.
"What do you think?"
"I think that I am not Bridge 4," Shen said, taking time to think with each word. I am Bridge Four's slave.
It was like a punch to Kaladin's gut. He'd hardly heard a dozen words out of the man during their time together, and now this? The words smarted either way. Here was a man who, unlike the others, wasn't welcome to leave and make his way back in the world. Dalinar had freed the rest of Bridge Four, but a Parsh man? He'd be a slave no matter where he went or what he did. What could Kaladin say? Storms. I appreciate your help when we were scavenging. I know it was difficult for you to see what we did down there sometimes. Shen waited, still squatting, listening. He regarded Kaladin with those impenetrable, solid black parchment eyes of his. I can't start arming parchment, Shen, Kaladin said. The Light Eyes barely accept us as it is. If I gave you a spear, think of the storm it would cause. Shen nodded, face displaying no hint of his emotions. He stood up straight.
A slave I am, then.
He withdrew. Kaladin knocked his head back against the stone behind him, staring up at the sky. Storming man. He had a good life, for a Parsh man. Certainly more freedom than any other of his kind. And were you satisfied with that? A voice inside him asked. Were you happy to be a well-treated slave? Or did you try to run, fight your way to freedom? What a mess. He mulled over those thoughts, digging into his stew. He got two bites down before Natum, one of the men who'd been guarding at the palace, came stumbling into their camp, sweating, frantic, and red-cheeked from running.
"The king!" Natum said, puffing. "An assassin!"